Congress will vote today on one version of extending the Bush tax cuts.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. In a moment, we'll speak with one of the lead congressional negotiators trying to figure out a compromise on the Bush tax cuts. But first, where's Wall Street? Markets are up right now. The Dow is up 42 points at 11,297. The Nasdaq up about 0.4%, and the S&P 500 also up about 0.4%. The Labor Department reported this morning that, on average, the number of new people filing each week for unemployment benefits has dropped to a two-year low. Now let's turn to the debt crisis in Europe, which continues to unfold. The European Central Bank chief said today the bank will continue to provide cash as needed to keep the financial system there going. Let's bring in our regular Thursday contributor, Diane Swonk. She's chief economist at Mesro Financial and a regional advisor to the Fed. She's with us live from Chicago. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
Well, yesterday we heard that it's getting more expensive for some of the supposedly strong countries like Germany and Belgium to borrow money. Is this crisis getting worse?
For the moment, it is getting worse before it's going to get better, because there's a lot of uncertainty about how much it's actually going to cost and how far down the really at-risk economies like Ireland and Greece are actually going to have to fall before they bottom out.
Is this something that Americans should be worried about? Is this something that can affect us here?
Absolutely. I mean, during the financial crisis, the Federal Reserve released yesterday the banks that they helped out during the height of the financial crisis to keep the global financial system going. Of the 10 top banks, eight of them were European banks.
Eight of them were European banks. So we actually do play a role in what goes on over there.
Not only do we play a role, it's a little bit insulting that the finance minister of Germany had the audacity to call Ben Bernanke clueless on administering QE2 when we're the one who saved their banks.
QE2, the quantitative easing version 2. Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesro Financial, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Now let's go to Washington, where Congress will take up a bill to extend the Bush tax cuts today. It's a Democratic proposal that would extend the cuts for those making under $250,000 a year. Well, one powerful Republican congressman, Dave Camp of Michigan, is already calling it a political stunt. Congressman Camp is one of the lead congressional negotiators on tax cuts, and he joins us now. Congressman Camp, welcome back to Marketplace.
Well, good morning, Jeremy. Good to be with you.
Great to have you. Well, first of all, why do you think that's a political stunt?
Well, first of all, this really is a debate about raising taxes. And in this economy, we really need to do everything we can to ensure job creation. And raising taxes at this time, over 100 economists, including Nobel laureates, have said that would be a bad idea. This vote today is one they could have had for months, frankly. And we know it's not going anywhere in the Senate. The reason there wasn't a vote before the election is because they knew the Senate wouldn't do it. And it's a very restricted vote. If we could actually have a vote on not raising taxes on any American, I think that bill would pass with bipartisan support.
Okay, Congressman, earlier this week, Republicans blocked a measure that would have extended federal jobless benefits for the long-term unemployed. We've been talking to a number of economists about that this week, and every one of them has said that they think it's counterproductive to end unemployment benefits for people, even if it adds to the deficit. What was the calculation that you made on that issue?
Well, first, Republicans in the House can't block anything. Democrats control the rules, and they structured it in such a way that it required a supermajority.
But Republicans did vote against that, right?
Yes, because we weren't allowed to offer any amendments to pay for the bill. I support the extension of unemployment benefits, but I want to do it in a responsible way, and I want to pay for it. And if we could have a vote on whether we do it unpaid for or paid for, let's line them up. Let's vote on both of them. I can tell you that the one that pays for the unemployment benefits will pass. That's why they're so afraid of it. That's why they won't let it come to the floor. So by it actually did pass the House, but didn't pass the House by a supermajority because of the way they structured the vote. And I think that's why I call this somewhat of a charade on this issue.
Okay, Republican Congressman Dave Camp of Michigan, thanks so much for your time this morning.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jeremy.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. and by MassMutual, offering Save the Game, a financial literacy app for children designed for iPod Touch and iPhone, available on the App Store. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The summer of 2010 was the worst for home sales in decades. But according to a closely watched survey released this morning, buyers aren't all that interested in snapping up the biggest discounts of all, foreclosed homes. Marketplace's Gregory Warner has the story.
The foreclosure buying spree of 2009 has slowed. That's according to real estate data firm RealtyTrack. In part, it's because all home sales slowed after a popular home buyer tax credit expired in June.
We got a stark view of what the market is like without the help of that tax credit in the third quarter, and it wasn't very pretty.
RealtyTrack's Darren Bloomquist says that about one in four residential homes purchased between July and September were foreclosed, and people paid 32% less on average for foreclosed homes than the other ones. That's the biggest price difference since 2005, and it could increase this winter quarter.
We do anticipate that in the fourth quarter, we'll actually see another drop in specifically foreclosure sales as a result of the foreclosure documentation controversy.
That controversy alleges that banks signed off on hundreds of foreclosure documents a day without proper legal review. It could make would-be buyers even more cautious about bidding on a foreclosed home, only to get dragged into a legal battle over who officially owns that house. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
And finally, a Goldman Sachs partner has been kicked out of his $35,000 a month New York apartment. According to the New York Post, the banker was throwing some wild parties and annoying the neighbors. Well, I'm sure the new tenant will be more subdued. Oh, wait, maybe he won't. It's New York Knicks star Amari Stoudemire. I can just picture the downstairs tenant listening to the dribbling basketballs bouncing on the hardwood floors overhead. You can check out our Midday Update podcast. It's at marketplace.org or at iTunes. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Even if the UN climate summit in Cancun comes up empty, local governments are trying to do what domestic and international politicians can't.
I would say the bigger impact of cities is really in this rethinking of how to deal with the issue of climate change and going beyond relying on national government.
I'm Tess Vigeland. Does acting locally add up? That's next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.